Hey, it's Craig. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Canadian History X early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Canadian History X. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. You can support the podcast for as little as $3 a month. You can also give a donation. Just go to CanadaEHX.com. Today, I'm interviewing author Ron Brown. He's written a number of books about the back roads of Ontario, the ghost towns of Ontario, and, most recently, one of his books is being reissued, all about the lost villages of Toronto. It's a really interesting interview with a real cool look at the history of Ontario that is often hidden from the main highways. So let's get to this interview and talk to Ron Brown. What got you interested in history, but also travel writing?
Well, I went to university as a geographer, and basically I learned to read the landscape. And what the landscape is telling you is a lot about history, a lot about what you see. And another thing is, I was my teenage years, I grew up in Scarborough, and they used to poke around the countryside. And back then, Scarborough was pretty much just farmland and little crossroads hamlets here and there, which have all vanished because of the ridiculous urban sprawl that spread unabated across our landscape. And imagine there's some of that in Ottawa too. So nowadays I'm just trying to, it's my mission to get people to look around their own backyard and enjoy some of the history they may not even know it's there. And we started with the ghost towns of Ontario back in the late 70s. Look around their own back and enjoy some of the history they may not ever have. We started with the ghost towns of Ontario back in the late 70s. People were really, you know, quite interested in what's out there. The Toronto's Lost Villages, it first came out in 15, 20 years ago, and it was time to update it. So the new book is an update of that.
Yeah, I saw it come up on my Apple Books or my iBooks, and that's kind of when I was first alerted to it. And I kind of thought it was such an interesting concept of these lost villages that have kind of been swept away over the course of time. So I guess, tell me a bit about Toronto's lost villages.
Well, there's a lot of different types of lost villages. I just mentioned the old farm hamlets around Scarborough, crossroads with usually with a blacksmith, a general store, a hotel, and a few homes. They're pretty well gone. The only thing left of these might be a church or a school, which were pretty solid structures, and they're getting repurposed now. There was a number of lost railway villages. Toronto, once upon a time, we know about Union Station, once had 27 railway stations. And little communities tended to grow around those little railway villages. And with the advent of the auto age, you know, the railways lost their dominance, and so did the railway villages. So many of them now are sort of wrapped up in, again, urban sprawl, some of it older, some of it newer. And it's fun to kind of go there and identify buildings which date back to those times. And absolutely, I think that's what people like. They like to get out there and see this link to the past, you know.
Absolutely. Do you feel like a lot of history is gone for the sake of expansion? I'm out in Alberta, so I've seen Edmonton kind of really go far out, same with my hometown of Stony Plain. So do we lose a lot? No, I'm in Alberta.
I love Alberta.
Yes. It's
no, I've been to Alberta. I've been to the entire prairies to do research for my railway station books and also my ghost town books. So there's a lot of really interesting history out there, and some people are working to preserve it. There's a roundhouse in Saskatchewan that's getting saved, another one that isn't. Bigger Saskatchewan has basically let their station go to rack and ruin, because even though it was a designated site. But yes, I agree. A lot of history is being lost due to expansion, due to liability, I guess, and building standards, building codes are not allowing some of these older buildings to really get repurposed. So there's a lot of factors at work here.
Mm-hmm. When I was looking through your books, your catalog, I saw a lot of, you know, the back roads of Ontario. And whenever my wife and I go on trips, we always take the secondary highways, the back highways, never, you know, Highway 2 or anything like that, because we always feel like there's so much more that you can find on these. So I guess why take back roads in Ontario or really anywhere in Canada?
Well, really for the same reason that I wrote the Lost Villages book, to get people out exploring their own backyard. I mean, even before this pandemic crisis, people wanted to get away from the cities and just sort of see what's out there. And there's lots of ghost towns around Southern Ontario, as well as the Lost Villages in Toronto. So, you know, people love to do that. I know you love to do it from the sound of it. And there's lots to see in Alberta and out on the back roads, old railway stations, railway lines, ghost towns, what have you. So it's a great province.
Mm-hmm. I used to live in Saskatchewan. I was right near what's called the Ghost Town Trail, which is a lot, kind of a portion of southern Saskatchewan that just has a ton of ghost towns. And so my wife and I would always visit these ghost towns and everything. But what got you interested in ghost towns, and what can people learn about themselves, like learn about today even, by visiting these towns that don't exist anymore, except for maybe a few structures or a little bit of pavement?
Oh, well, it goes back a long way, my interest in ghost towns. The first ghost town I saw was in 1963. A group of us from our church were visiting a First Nations area up near Parry Sound, and one of Ontario's largest ghost towns was sitting right there. It was a shipping port. 600 people once lived there, and now just foundations. And oh, I guess I could go on and say my parents visited the Yukon, bought me a book on the ghost towns of the Yukon. I thought, why not write a book? And so I've written probably 25 books since then about ghost towns, back roads, unusual things to see in Ontario, and on it goes.
And you have a new book coming, The Wonders of Canada, or Canada's Wonders?
Canada's World Wonders actually came out last year, and basically it's, well, my publisher said, why don't you do a book about UNESCO sites in Canada? Well, I looked at that, and there was a lot more interesting things here in Canada than just UNESCO sites. There was national parks, there was all kinds of places which weren't even parks, you know. So, you know, you've got the buffalo parks out there in Saskatchewan and Alberta. You've got the a crazy little snake pit in Narcisse, Manitoba.
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things. The Pierce Say Rock out in Quebec, they're all over the place, really. So many, right here in Ontario, there's unusual badlands that look like the Drumheller Badlands, of all mm-hmm. things. Not as big, of course, but these things are all out there to be explored.
Yeah, I think we just got a new one, the Writing on Stone Park down in southern Alberta, I think, just became a UNESCO. Last year, I think. With your travel books, what do you want to get across with those? What do you hope people get from those travel books that you write?
I want them to love their land. I mean, newcomers, oldcomers, whatever you want to call ourselves, people coming from different countries really love to get out there and see what they've got. You know, exploring the back roads and the ghost towns and whatnot. And folks which have been around for a while, and they love their old railway, so I've done a lot of railway books as well. I just want people to appreciate where we've been, and maybe it'll help us get where we're going.
Where does the interest in the railways come from?
Well, it's I'm one of these railway nuts, you know. There's a few of us kicking around. We love our trains. We love our railway stations. I used to travel by train to visit my grandparents all the time. And even now, I try to get on the train as much as I can, even though there's not very much train travel available anymore. It's just a way of sitting there in a coach, looking out the window, not having to worry about traffic jams, flying past people's backyards, and wonderful scenery that you wouldn't otherwise see from the road. It's relaxing, and it opens up a whole new landscape for us.
When you go into cities,
and you might be able to have a beverage there.
Yeah, that's right. When you go into cities, you can come across very large museums with many great things in them. But is there something to be said about going to small towns and learning these histories of small towns, or visiting small, little, tiny local museums and things like that on travels around Canada?
I think all across Canada, there's been a lot of hard work, not with just local museums, but especially out in the Prairie provinces with recreating steam travel by train. There's many little opportunities, many little tour train operations all across the prairies that bring us back to those times. And that those are local efforts and wonderful. Local museums, yes, but unfortunately, they're usually stuffed into a building, and you know that doesn't really get you outside very much, even though the museums can start you on an adventure around that area. So yes, for sure. And just local individuals too. I went up to inspect the ghost town there yesterday morning, actually. And I was standing in front of a house, and it was by an abandoned railway line, and it was in a ghost town. Chat came out, and we started chatting. And I said, well, what was this house used for at one time? Did it have a connection with the railway? He said, yeah, it was the old railway hotel. So, I mean, there's a nice little treasure right there. Just came right out of the blue. Local folks and local museums really are a wonderful part of our heritage.
Absolutely. And kind of in relation to that, is there history everywhere you look if you just kind of take the time to look hard enough, or like you said with yesterday, talk to the people who have lived in these towns for years?
Well, when you look around the peripheries of our cities, it's pretty depressing. You don't see a lot of history being preserved there. You see big box stores, you see endless factories, you see look-alike housing everywhere. But it's in there. It's there as well. I mean, my preference is to get out in the countryside and look around. And I think people who live in these urban messes really do like to get outside, get out of town, even though it's getting harder and harder to get out of town because out of town is further and further away.
Yep.
But they do. And that's why I do the books. People want to get out of town and really understand what they're seeing. I mean, people will drive by. I mentioned the Badlands here just north of Toronto. They'll drive by that and they'll wonder what the heck it is. My mission is to tell them what it is.
Is there a favorite spot that you have? Favorite old town or historic spot that you like to go to?
Well, I can, tell you right now, the areas I like to visit more than any other is called the District of Parry Sound. It's between 2 and 3 hours north of Toronto. And what it has, it's got the beautiful 30,000 island of Jordan, a UNESCO World Biosphere Reserve now. It's called Old Colonization Roads, which go back 150 years. These were lined with farms and villages, but the soil was terrible. It was just a scam by the government to help get people up there to work for the lumber companies. And once the lumber was gone, the people disappeared. The farms were abandoned, and so too were the villages. So there's a lot of really interesting old history up in that area, but that's not to put down other parts of Ontario too. Southwestern Ontario, Eastern Ontario, quite a lot of old mill sites, wonderful heritage buildings as well.
And my last question is, if people are interested in finding your books and getting in touch with you, where do they go? How do they get in touch?
I would welcome people to visit my website, www.ronbrown.ca. My contact information is there. The background of why I do my crazy things is there. And a list of my books is there. The Toronto's Lost Villages book is not yet on that site, but it will be shortly. And I welcome anybody to send in their letters, comments, and tell me where I've made a mistake. That's fine, too. That happens. And that helps me correct things in the future. I love to hear from people. They share their stories and even send in pictures sometimes. So I welcome that. And thank you for that.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ron Brown. And if you did, please leave a rating and review. You can reach me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can visit my website where you'll find hundreds of articles on Canada's history as well as all my podcast episodes. Just go to canadaehx.com. And again, you can support the podcast by going to Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/CanadaEHX. Thanks, and we'll see you again next time.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.